Some of you no doubt have heard in the news of what happened maybe in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. A young man by the name of John Chow, who traveled to India and then to some remote islands off the coast of India. And the news media is portraying him as an adventurer that went where he should not have gone. And as a result, he was shot with an arrow and killed by this tribe that lives on this very hidden away island, North Sentinel Islands. And the people there, indigenous people there in that on that island, they are very primitive. And of course, the liberal thought sociologists are saying we should not in any way interrupt their culture, let them go on and live the way that they live. There's one big problem with that for Christians, and that is not the will of God. If they're lost, they need Jesus. If they're lost, they need the gospel. And there have been many, many over the many decades, missionaries that have gone and into places and have laid down their life to carry the gospel. And that's what, as I understand it, that's what this young man was doing. He was a young man who had studied about this island, North Sentinel Islands, and wanted to get there. And so he paid fishermen to get him close, and then he kayaked onto the island. He made contact with the people and then went back a second time. And the second time that he went back, he was murdered by them. Only 26 years old. It's a sad story, the thought that he would go to carry the gospel to them and would die. What would motivate someone to do that? Was it just news media? They're portraying it as, you know, he's just an adventurer and he just wanted to go to a place and he shouldn't have gone. But we know that if he truly, and from what I have been able to read from the Christian side of things, this young man was sincerely a missionary who wanted to carry the gospel to this people that were hidden away from any modern culture. And so if that is true, then we understand that he went because he cared about the lost condition that they were in. And that should be the attitude of every Christian. We should care about the fact that people are lost. We use that term around the church. That's kind of, our Christian lingo, the lost. It's a biblical term. But sometimes people maybe that are not in church or don't serve the Lord may not understand what we're talking about when we talk about the lost. We mean that people who do not have Christ, that don't know him, that are not born again, that they are lost literally, eternally, without Christ. They are lost. And there has to be someone with the courage and the burden and the desire to carry the gospel to people that so desperately need him. They are lost. Now, the book of Romans is a book in the New Testament that is really the major theme of Romans is salvation. But in the 9th chapter of Romans, It is an expression of the writer of Romans. It's his heart. It shows his heart and what's most important to him. And I want to read these few verses here. Romans chapter 9, and then I'm going to read one verse in Romans chapter 10. 9th chapter of Romans, verse number 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen. Chapter 10 and verse number 1. Again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. This reveals the heart of the Apostle Paul. It reveals what is closest to his heart. Could I ask you that question tonight? What is it that is the most important thing to you? What is closest to your heart? The Apostle Paul here is revealing the closest thing to his heart. The thing that he cared most about were his countrymen, the Jews. He cared about them, even though they were religious. He knew that they didn't have Jesus. They didn't have Christ. They knew that he didn't have Christ, that they didn't have Christ. And so he's describing his heart for the lost of Israel. And, you know, if you have the heart of God, you're going to care about the things that God cares about. Amen. You're going to care about the things that God cares about, and he cares about the lostness of mankind, the lostness of people. And when you run into someone, meet someone out in the community, meet someone in the bank or in some place of business, do you even consider the fact that that person, I mean, they may look like they've got it all together, well-dressed, look like they, you know, they've got everything going their way. But do you ever consider the fact that that person is a living soul that when their physical body dies, they're going to go somewhere for all of eternity? Do you ever think about that? Is this something that ever comes to your thoughts at all? I believe the Apostle Paul was saying, I care about lost people. I care about lost people. It's really a contradiction, isn't it, to say, I love the Lord, but I'm not really concerned about the thing that he's most concerned about. How do we know he's most concerned? Well, he came into this world in the form of flesh. He lived in this world for 33 years. And then he went to a cross and died on the cross. And why? For you and for the lostness of all of mankind. That reveals his heart. That reveals the thing that is closest to him. Now, it seems a little bit strange. The first verse there of chapter 9, it's like he's trying to qualify what he's saying. He says, I'm telling the truth. I say the truth. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. It's like he's trying to make sure that you understand that what he is saying, he really means it. It's really the truth. Because he's getting ready to say something that is far beyond me and far beyond probably any of us here. I don't know very many people that would say what he did. Now notice here, he says, I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. He's describing having a heaviness, a burden, caring about people that are lost. And he says in verse 3, and this is the part that is really, really out there, really extreme. He said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen. He's talking about the Jews, my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now that is extreme. He is saying, I care so much about the lost of my fellow man that I would be willing, if possible, to be lost myself, if that's what it would take for them to know God, for them to know Jesus. Now that's extreme. That's extreme. That's why the Apostle Paul qualified it about 3 times in verse number 1, saying, listen, I'm telling you the truth. By my conscience and by the Holy Ghost, this is really true. This is really my heart. This is how I feel. This is my burden that I have concerning people that are lost. And it's the kind of burden that I don't know anything about. And that I oftentimes pray and ask the Lord, help me to care more about people. Help me to love people. Help me to have more of a zeal for people that don't know Jesus. I don't know that I've ever prayed, Lord, I'm willing to be lost myself if you would give me the opportunity to win my community or my friends or my loved ones. I don't know that I've come to that level, but the Apostle Paul was at that extreme level of commitment and his interest and his desire in his heart. He is revealing his heart and what's most important to him. I don't know, but what John Cho didn't pay those fishermen $300 to get on that kayak so that he could get himself to that island, North Sentinel Island, and so he could carry the gospel to them. I know that Jim Elliott and his co-workers, they did the same thing. They went into places where they knew it was going to be dangerous. They knew they needed to hear the gospel in Ecuador. They knew that they were going to pay a price for it. I don't know that they knew that they were laying down their life, but I'm convinced they were willing to do that if that's what it was going to take, and it did. And they joined the ranks of hundreds and thousands of others who have become martyrs for the gospel's sake. That has gone on and still goes on, and today there are many multiplied hundreds and thousands of people who lay down their life for the gospel's sake. It's pretty amazing. But I have to admit, I don't have that kind of a burden. I don't carry that kind of a burden. I really do want to see people come to the Lord, but I haven't stepped up to that level of concern and burden yet. But I think what the Apostle Paul is doing is he's letting us know, this is my heart and this is how extreme my love and my commitment is to people. And it's really a lesson for all of us to pay attention to, that God wants us to love what He loves. He wants us to care about people that He died for, people that He laid down His life for, and that He gave His only begotten Son for. He wants us to love them as well. What do you love? What are you passionate about? Paul was describing the thing that was really, he was most passionate about. You know, if you're passionate about something, it becomes singular in your vision, in your focus. You're thinking about it all the time. It's always on your mind. Sad to say, many in our world, our culture today, it's money. People are, that's their passion. And so they get up early in the morning and they work hard all day long because they want more of what this world has to offer. A lot of people have a passion to succeed in life, but it's really a little bit imbalanced because they're focused on things that really have no eternal consequence at all, have no real eternal effect at all. Our passion should be for people. It should be for the eternal, that people, yes, are going to live and they're going to die, and we all have an appointment with death, but the real issue is what's going to happen to your neighbors, to your family members, to your loved ones, and to people that you are rubbing shoulders with here in this community. What will happen to them when they take their last breath? That ought to matter to you. As a church, it ought to matter to us. It ought to be something that's of great concern to us. So we want to see more and more people that don't know Christ. We want to see them coming through the doors of this sanctuary, coming into the house of the Lord and seeking after God in their lives, being changed for the glory of God. Amen. What is your passion? What is it? The Apostle Paul said, I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow. We call that, in modern church lingo, we call that carrying a spiritual burden. A burden. Have you heard someone say, well, I have a burden on my heart. I have a burden for someone or some need or some situation. And that means there's just a heaviness that you have taken on in your heart. and you care about that and it weighs heavily upon you, it's on your mind, and when you go to bed at night, sometimes it keeps you awake. And in the morning when you wake up, it's the first thing that's on your mind. You carry this burden on your heart. And if you really want to see your family, your loved ones come to the Lord, then you'll be carrying that kind of a burden on your heart where you can't really get away from it. It's always there. You're always thinking about the fact that people are lost. Your loved ones are lost. We ought to have a burden. A burden is really a motivation. A burden is really something that it's like an inward push in us that causes us to be focused and give our attention and our heart and our zeal and to care about the fact that people are lost, and they're all around us. They're all around us. Everywhere you go, there are people that don't know God. They have no interest in God. They're not thinking about God. They have no consciousness at all about the things of the Lord. And it should not be that as Christians and the church, that we are indifferent toward that. That we allow ourselves to become apathetic toward that. We're not even concerned. We're not even thinking about it. It ought to be something that's on our mind, on our heart, continually in our prayers. It ought to be the thing that we can't get away from it. It's heaviness upon us. It's weighing upon us that we are concerned. I have seen people get under a spiritual burden before that you could see in their countenance. There was like it was almost as if they were physically sick. They were under such a burden. I've seen people pick up a spiritual burden for someone, carry it, pray, fast, dedicate themselves because they were concerned and burdened for that person that was lost. Where is that in the church today? Where is that among us today? Do we carry that kind of a burden? I don't think so too much. I think we're just busy with a lot of activity. We're living good lives. We're living, you know, in a way that, filling up our days with a lot of things, and they're not bad things. We're busy, 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 and we have not allowed ourselves to carry a spiritual burden, to carry a burden, to care about people. You know, you have to make a choice to carry a spiritual burden. You know, you can ignore it. You can ignore that people are lost. You cannot even think about it. You can keep it out of your consciousness, or you can entertain the thought. You can think about it. You can think about the lostness of people. You can think about it. I read a lot about different missionary endeavors, different things that are going on in missions around the world, and it's a good thing to do. It keeps your mind open to the realities of the lost conditions of people around this world. I know there are a lot of Christians, there's a lot of believers, maybe close to 2 billion of the population go to church every Sunday. But that leaves at least 5 billion people in the world that don't know God. They don't know the Lord, and they need Jesus. And it needs to be on my heart. It needs to be on your heart. You need to be thinking and considering it and carrying this kind of a burden. Multitudes are in the valley of decision. Many, many people are far away from God, and you and I carry a great deal of responsibility. The Apostle Paul also said, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. I've received so much. I've heard the gospel. I've received forgiveness of sins. I've received of the bounty of his grace. And so I'm in debt. I'm in debt to the Greeks and to the barbarians. He was looking at the broad spectrum. The Greeks, who were the intellectuals and of a higher level of accomplishment. And the barbarians, that's people that were just the opposite of that. The unlearned, the uneducated, and those that were far away from God. He said, to the Greeks on one hand, to the barbarians and the whole spectrum, I'm a debtor to all of them. Every one of them, I'm a debtor. And we are debtors as well. You and me, we are debtors to people of all walks of life in all kinds of situations, to the Greeks and the barbarians, the wise and the unwise, all of these kind of people. We have to ask the Lord to help us. Lord, help me to see people like you see them. Help me to see people in their spiritual depravity, to see people as eternal souls that are going to be lost if they don't come to Jesus, and to care about them. Amen. And to invest in their lives, to be willing to do that, to be willing to invest in them, to show an interest in them. If you love lost people, you will show an interest in lost people. One of the things that happens to us as Christians is we hear the important principle of separating ourselves from the world, and we certainly should do that. We should live a separated life. We're not to be conformed to the world. We're not to be like the world. We're to be Christians. We're to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that is set apart from the world. But one of the problems that we have is we set ourselves apart, and then we're so isolated from people out there in the world that we don't really have any interest in them. We don't really even want to think about them, or we don't care about them and their lost condition. But we should. But we should. Right now during the holidays, oh, what a wonderful time it is. What a wonderful opportunity it is. Not just to give gifts and all the things that we do with family. Oh, that's wonderful as well. But what an opportunity we have to reach people, to reach out to people, to care about people, to give to people, to love them, to minister to them, to pour out in whatever ways that God gives you opportunity, and as he lays people upon your heart, show an interest in them, care about them, have a passion for them. Allow God to begin to deal with your heart. And this burden is like something that will begin to drive you and motivate you and cause you to care about the lost condition of people. I often tell you, remind you about the situation with my mom and my dad. When my dad was dying and not saved, the hospice people came, sat down with my mom, and said to her, "Now listen, Mrs. Jarvis, people make it right with God in their own way. So you may not even know that he's made it right with God. So you just need to get ready for that and accept that." And my mom's response was, "No." And she wasn't just being belligerent, but my mom had spent almost 40 years praying for my dad. Almost 40 years she had invested in him. She'd prayed for him early in the morning before he went to work. At 4:30 in the morning, my mom was up praying. The only place she could get away alone was in the bathroom, and she threw a little rug over the side of the bathtub and prayed every morning. I would wake up many mornings because my room was next to the bathroom, and I would wake up many mornings hearing my mom pray. All of those years she had invested in praying, and that's why she said, "No, no," because she carried a burden for him. I remember when supper was fixed and we all were gathered around the table and my mom had prepared the meal, and she walked away from the meal to go to the other room to pray for my dad and for her family and whatever else was on her heart. I was a kid and I observed that kind of a burden that she carried, and she never got away from that. All those years, she carried a burden for my dad, and she prayed for him and sought the Lord and fasted and carried that burden for him. And so whenever that social worker or that hospice person said that, she just said, "No, no. I prayed for him, and I'm going to know. I want to know that he got saved." Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 weeks before he died, that's what happened. He repented. He called upon the Lord. He was born again. He went to heaven 2 weeks later. And I want you to know, it was a burden that her and maybe many others carried that caused him to make it to heaven. And it'll be a burden that God puts upon us as a church It'll cause us to be effective in reaching our community and this part of this region if we were willing to carry a burden. We are debtors. John Hyde went to India, Punjab state. 1 million people lived there in 1900, if you can imagine. 1 million people lived there in 1902, I think it was, when he went there. There were two other ladies that were there, and as far as he knew, that was the only other missionaries there. He spent the first 2 years working and trying to evangelize and reach people, and in 2 years he had zero response, zero converts. He was so overwhelmed with grief and sorrow over that. The Lord spoke to John Hyde and said, you need to pray every day for one soul. And that's what John Hyde did. He prayed every day, and he prayed until he got a confirmation in his spirit that the Lord was going to save that one person. And every day somebody was saved. In the first year that he did that, 365 souls were saved in Punjab, India, 1904 or 5. 365. The next year, the Lord increased his faith and he began to ask for 2 souls per day. And that's what he did. He doubled it every year. For 4 or 5 years, he doubled it until the last year, there was over 2,900 that were saved in 1 year. And every day he just prayed until he had the assurance in his heart that the Lord was saving somebody, saving some soul. And he lived under that kind of a burden. And revival broke out in Punjab. And many hundreds and thousands of people were affected for the gospel's sake. Souls that were saved. Wow. What can a burden accomplish? I'm telling you, a burden can get a lot done. A spiritual burden can really accomplish a lot if we will allow the Lord to lay it upon our hearts. The apostle said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. Wow, what a level of concern and burden. I'm not there. I doubt that you're there. None of us are there. I don't know that very many people have reached that level of a burden, but I do believe that we can all pick up a burden and we can begin to pray. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That was his heart. That's what I care about. What do you care about? What do you care about? Your bank account, your job, your career, your future, your family, your possessions? What is it that is your future and your passion as a believer, as a child of God? Our heart should reveal that we care about the lostness of mankind. When you run into them out there in the world, places of business, think about the lost condition that they're in and that they need to hear hope. They need to hear the message of hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing to pick it up? A spiritual burden is not unlike a physical burden. You have to be willing to say, okay, I'll carry it. I'll pick it up. I'll carry it. I'll let these people become the burden of my heart. I'll think about them. I'll pray for them. I'll allow the Spirit of God to deal with me and to put them upon my heart. Amen. And carry the burden for them. See people, not as how they appear in the physical, but see people as eternal souls that are going to live on and on and on throughout eternity. And unless they know Jesus, they're going to be lost eternally. That's just a fact. It's a very awful thing to consider, but it's reality. It's God's word. We know it's the truth. And so we carry the burden of the Apostle Paul. We carry that same burden. This little passage of scripture here that I've read for you tonight, it really reveals what was going on in his heart. And tonight, I just want to remind you that if you really love God, you're going to care about people. You're going to care about lost people. Amen. Let's stand together.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. People are lost. They don't know the Lord. They don't know what it means to be truly saved and born again. Their life has not been really changed and transformed, but they can come to the Lord. And we need to care. We need to love them, and we need to invest in them and reach out to them, and in whatever ways that we can, get involved in their life so we can show the love of Jesus Christ to them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Think about it. Your friends, your neighbors, those that are all around you. Think about those that God has given you influence with them. Pray for them. Care for them. Invest in their eternal soul. Hallelujah.